Blog Talk Radio.
I can tell you my love.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to a special Thursday night edition of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew. I'm, of course, William Ramon. What's up, Mac? What's going on?
Hey, man. How's it going?
I'm doing good, man. Anything, you know, major happened sports-related, you know, in the last couple of days?
Oh, yeah. I know Mets fans know what happened in the last few days, of course.
What would that be, my friend?
Oh, man. Well, I don't even have to say it. Go ahead, Will.
Can I give you a clue?
Spread the news.
Can I give you a clue?
I know. Trust me, I know. But go ahead.
Is that in your theme song? You know, of your guys who always win all the titles? Every championship known to mankind. You guys won the World Series, the Stanley Cup, the Super Bowl. You know, the all of them, man. You guys win it all.
Yeah, go ahead, man.
Who would have thought?
Celebrate.
Who would have thought? A little old team in the Queens, you know, win, you know, sweep you guys, man. Like, who would have thought it?
Yeah, man. It's like I saw the parade this morning on TV. I saw Mr. Met for broom sweeping. Yeah, man. Like,
it's the great. Yeah.
That was a great World Series win, but that's it, you know.
Thanks,
in this
man. Thanks. 22 years overdue, man. You know.
Yeah.
We're gonna hold on to that win. We're gonna say that those wins for October, hopefully. You know.
Well, but, hey, great two wins, man. Great two wins.
But seriously, how's everything with you, man?
Good, man. It's good. Real good.
But, yeah, all joking aside, man, thank you all, ladies and gentlemen, for, you know, checking out this episode. On today's show, of course, we're going to be talking about the Subway Series sweep. You know, so far the Mets and the Yankees, you know, they played their first two games of the season at Citi Field. They're going to be playing each other again at Yankee Stadium in August, where, you know, obviously the Yankee fans think it'll be the exact opposite of what happened, you know. But we'll see what happens next month. Of course, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the Knicks rumors with, you know, surrounding Donovan Mitchell. That both New York teams made a trade. You know, the Yankees, you know, they made the bigger move getting Benintendi, you know, coming to the Bronx. Mets made a minor deal just a few moments ago. We'll get into that. We're also going to preview the Survivor Series, the SummerSlam. I'm getting a little too ahead of myself. It's not Survivor Series yet. It's SummerSlam. But then again, WWE's getting a little ahead of themselves too, because SummerSlam is usually in August, but for whatever reason they put it to July. We'll get into that. AEW had their Fighter Fest last night. You know, we'll talk about that as well, and whatever else is on your guys' minds. Of course, you know the number is 563-999-3529. That's 563-999-3529. So feel free to talk about any of these topics and more. We'd love to hear from you. You know, you could talk about, you know, Durant possibly getting traded to the Celtics. You could talk about if you think Donovan Mitchell will get traded from the Jazz to the Knicks. You could talk about if you're a Mets fan, if you're enjoying this, you know, this win against the Yankees. If you're a Yankee fan, you know, you could talk about, how you feel the Yankees are going to come back. And, yeah, to their credit, the Yankees did get a walk-off win. They got inspired by the Mets yesterday. They got their walk-off win. So, you know, a happy recap for the Yankee fans. Well, a win for the Yankee fans, I should say, you know. But, yeah, you know the deal, guys. Ladies and gentlemen, feel free to call us, 563-999-3529. That's 563-999-3529. So feel free to talk about any of these topics and more. We're here for you. With that said, let's talk about the Mets, man. I mean, well, I guess the Mets and Yankees, since the Subway Series just, you know, went down yesterday. Yeah, it was a, you know, huge win. You know, Mets against the Yankees, you know, the Mets have the Braves breathing down on their necks. They're up three games to my knowledge. I don't think the Braves play today. I'd have to double check with that. But, you know, the Mets, you know, they beat up the Yankees, what was it, Tuesday night. The Yankees were up 2-0. I think Judge and Rizzo hit a home run, and then in the first they came back and scored four runs. Eduardo Escobar with a big home run. Marte, you know, I know you guys are gonna remember that name because I'm gonna bring that name up in about a minute or so. So yeah, he had a big home run. Walker had his best game as a Met. You know, striking out the Yankees, keep the Yankees at bay. And then Diaz, man. Diaz, he's been having a historic year. Struck out over 51% of the batters he's faced. He's just been dominant. He struck out four Yankees, highlighted by Gallo in the eighth. And he struck out, you know, three other batters, the Yankee batters. So the Yankees fell to the Mets. What's the final score? 7-4, 7-5? I can't remember the final score. I'd have to double check. But of course, last night, Mets was leading 2-0 on Max Scherzer's 38th birthday. You know, he was wheeling and dealing against the Yankees, highlighted by how he kept Judge in check, you know, gave Judge that sombrero, striking out three times. Judge went 0 for 5, I think, in that game last night. Yeah, and then, of course, as soon as they took Scherzer out, because I think it was Scherzer struck out like six guys in seven innings. And, yeah, the Yankees, man, they just kept threatening the whole game. They had like two or three people on base all the time. But, you know, thank God for Scherzer. He was able to, you know, hold them in check, especially Judge. And Judge was guilty, man. You gotta admit that. Judge was guilty, man. He left all those guys on base. And then, of course, you know, once Scherzer came out, David Peterson – you know, usually a starter, but he's in the pen right now. He gave up that two-run blast I'm trying to remember his name, Gleyber Torres. And, you know, just like that, the Yankees got they were back in the ball game, tied 2-2. Gotta admit, you know, I won't front. I was getting worried about this lead. About the game because, you know, they just blew the lead that easily. Two batters in. Then Seth Lugo had a vintage Seth Lugo performance, and you know, he kept the Yankees in check. You know, he went one and two thirds inning, I think it was. Yeah, so I mean he was wheeling and dealing, and you know, with Diaz throwing 22 pitches on Tuesday night, they weren't going to use him. And Ottavino, the former Yankee, of course, you know, they used him as well on Tuesday night. So they stayed away from them. And fortunately, Lugo had a vintage performance. And then, Marte got the big hit to score. I don't know who he scored. Was it Escobar? With Escobar, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, so all in all, great win for the Mets. Mets sweep the Yankees. You know, they maintain their lead on the Braves, more importantly. And yeah, man, what can you say? The highlight of that sweep was just seeing Mr. Mets the mild-mannered Mr. Met, you know, sweeping right after the game was over as the Yankees left the field, you know, thinking they owned Citi Field. But sorry, folks, you guys got your stadium in the Bronx. So the Yankees, you know, of course, they went back to their Bronx, you know, with their new shiny toy, Benintendi. And they got the walk-off win. The Mets, you know, the Mets, they had their ninth walk-off win against the Yankees, the most in, you know, the Subway Series. And, of course, Yankees bouncing back, you know, with their tail between their legs, you know, and their 27 World Championships, you know, which the Yankees fans love to point that out, you know. They were sad, you know, thinking about leaving New York, maybe moving to Philadelphia perhaps. But, you know, props to the Yankees, man. They came back tonight, won on a walk-off win against the Royals. And the Yankees got their 12th walk-off win of the year. And, Mac, I'm pretty sure you couldn't be any happier. So what's your thoughts on the Yankees these past couple of days?
Yeah, well, you know, great win for the Mets. You know, but the Yankees, you know, the Yankees aren't going to dwell on those two losses. You know, we got more games to go, so you know, we got to move on, and that's what they did today. Pretty much they got Andrew Benintendi, which is a great addition to the team. I mean, I would have preferred Juan Soto, but unfortunately, I mean, maybe they might still try to trade for Juan Soto, who knows.
I think so
right now. I think Benintendi is a great addition. I mean, the guy gets on base, he's hitting for over 300. And he has a great on-base percentage. A very good hitter, you know, as we saw in his Red Sox days, you know, world champion back in 2018 with the Red Sox. Although tonight doesn't look like he did really good. He was 0-4 in his debut. But hopefully he'll do better, you know, in the games to come. But I think this was a good trade. And I think now the Yankees, you know, they need some reinforcements because they've had some injuries lately. You know, they have Stanton, who missed the Subway Series, who owns Citi Field, by the way. But Stanton.
I didn't get the memo on that. I doubt that. But
I think he was like 10. What they said he was like what 7 or 10 home runs at Citi Field, some crazy number like that.
You do know he played with the Marlins before that, right?
Oh yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Like if he had all those home runs with the Yankees.
No, I'm not saying as a Yankee.
Yeah,
I'm saying in his career, you know, against the Mets.
Yeah, he played in you know, with the with the Marlins. So of course,
yeah,
he has
that's what I'm saying.
So,
right.
Yeah. Okay. You know.
But he missed the series, you know, with an oblique injury. So he'll be back hopefully within the next week or so. And right now we've gotten some guys in the bullpen that's been injured. So we need some reinforcements right now. You know, getting Benintendi is good. I think we need to go after another guy in the starting lineup because Severino, you know, he's injured. So we don't know when we're getting him back. And, you know, some of these guys are, as well as they played, you know, during the first half of the season, you know, right now, you know, they're coming back to earth a little bit. So I think this is a good time for us to, you know, get some guys, add to the team. Because right now we are in a slump since the All-Star break. And we got swept by the Astros, you know, coming off the second half. We lost, 10 of our last 15 games. So better to have a slump now than have a slump, you know, later in the year heading into the postseason. So if the Yankees right now can just stay 500, you know, over these next few weeks until they start getting some of these guys back, I think we should be okay. I mean, we still have the best record right now in baseball, fortunately. Well, but, you know, Astros are breathing down our throat in the American League. So we just got to stay above, you know, water level right now. So, but it was a great win tonight. You know, that walk-off, it looks like Aaron Judge. I missed some of the game because I fell asleep. But it looks like Aaron Judge had another walk-off home run for the Yankees tonight to win against the Royals. So, all the Yankees have to do is, you know, not panic. You know, they have not been playing good these last 15 games. But, You know, that's it happens. You know, you expected that to happen because they played like they were unbeatable, you know, for the first half of the season. So hopefully now, you know, this doesn't become something much bigger than what it has been the last 15 games.
Yeah, like you said, you know, Yankees, you know, they're gonna go through their slumps like every team, you know. But most important for them, they bounced back earlier. Well, I should say tonight. You know, they're back to their winning ways. They got Benetton, who should definitely, you know, help out the offense. And I hear he's willing to get vaccinated, which, you know, some people were thinking that could have been a problem with him coming to New York. You know, playing for either teams. You know, whether he would, you know, be with the Mets and he would have, you know, played in the potential World Series with Toronto, or as he is right now, he's traded to the Yankees, and you know, playing some games in Toronto. You know, because they have zero tolerance when it comes to not being vaccinated. So now Benetton, he came off to a slow start today, but you know, I think it's a great move for the Yankees, for them to get him. And like you said, they're not out of it. They're not out of the Soto sweepstakes, you know. So got a shot to get him. Prove the bullpen and possibly get Castillo from the Reds. So, yeah, you know, the sky is the limit for the Yankees. You know, let's see. Oh, so it looks like, yeah, it was Judge who hit the walk-off home run, the walk-off blast, the elusive home run.
Oh, yeah.
He tried to get against Scherzer in the you know, yesterday, you know. I mean, he did hit one on Tuesday, you know. But now he got that elusive home run. You know, he finally put one over the wall, as the Yankee theme song says. You know,
yeah, so. Well, Judge has had several walk-offs this year, you know.
Oh, yeah, of course.
But, yeah.
How many home runs this guy has? Like, almost 40? Like...
He might be at 40 right now, for all I know.
Yeah, I mean, he's been having a phenomenal season. You know, the Yankees got to pay the man, you know.
Definitely. But
they're trying to think about getting Soto. They gotta give this guy a contract extension.
Which I think they will. You know?
Yeah, I mean, it would be un-Yankee-like if they didn't.
Yeah.
So, you know, props to him. He hit another home run and send the Yankees home. Send the Yankees home happy. 39 home runs. 293, 39 home runs, 83 RBIs. With an on-base percentage, 1,028.
Man, the season's not even over yet.
Unbelievable. This dude's having a Babe Ruth-esque season right here.
Yeah, this guy's got essentially like 50 home runs and maybe 100, over 100 something RBIs.
Oh yeah, I'm not judging the guy, but he's great. What can you say? But yeah, also switching gear with the Mets. Of course, I told you about the Benintendi trade. Mets made a minor move. I say probably made about a half hour ago or so. Yeah, let me tell you what that is. Let's see. Yeah, basically the Mets, they acquired Tyler McQuinn, not to be confused with NyQuil, and a left-handed pitcher, Philip Deal, from the Reds. NyQuil, as of right now, is batting .245, 6 home runs. And let's see, he's a left-handed hitter, finished third in the AL Rookie of the Year with the Indians in 2016. and his best year happened to be last year when he hit 19 home runs with the Reds. And, well, Deal, the guy who the Mets got in the deal, no pun intended, his ERA is 9.47 with 15 strikeouts and 6 walks and 19 inning pitch. Let's see. So Deal was traded to the Reds from the Yankees in the deal that sent Mike Tauchman to New York. Your boy, your former boy from a few years ago. So basically, this guy, Nyquin, he's going to, be a guy off the bench. He's an outfielder, and it's a minor move that the Mets made. There's rumors that maybe they might get rid of Jankowski, even though he's a popular dude. We'll see what happens. Hopefully this is not the biggest move that the Mets make before the training deadline. We'll see what happens. And then, of course, a few days ago, they got Daniel Vogelbach, who's basically their DH/pinch hitter, that they got in the deal with the Pirates. And then they made a minor trade, and got a catcher from the Pirates as well. So far the Mets, they've won 7 of their last 10 games, of course, highlighted by the Subway Series of, these past couple of days. And, the Mets are still looking to improve in their bullpen. Will they perhaps get David Robertson, the former Yankee? Will they upgrade at catcher with Wilson Contreras, who looks like, who basically hugged his teammates and thanked the fans, the Chicago Cubs fans, for all the years he's been with the team. Since the championship year in 2016, he's been with that team. So, he thanked the fans and his teammates, for in case if he gets potentially traded before the August deadline. We'll see what happens.
Mets definitely need to address some of their concerns as well. I think
mm-hmm.
as well as they've been playing, I think they do need some more offensive help a bit.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like maybe this move will help them, a little bit. But what other reinforcements do you think the Mets? What other trades do you think they should make?
Yeah, they definitely got to make a trade with the Cubs before the August 2 deadline, because they really need to work on that bullpen. Our bullpen's kind of shaky a bit, other than Diaz, who's having a career year. Lugo, he turned back the clock for one day, but even Drew Smith, who's always been great, he's been shaky this year, and now he's on the IL now. So they really need at least one more guy. I mean, if they could find a way to trade back, with the Angels to get Aaron Loop back, who was phenomenal, last year, and get David Robertson and maybe even get Fulmer from a guy they traded Cespedes for. They just really need to bolster this bullpen. To be honest with you, they need like at least 2 or 3 more guys for this bullpen. Bullpen has been shaky, and the guy who was pitching the best for them, other than Diaz, Colin Holderman, they traded him to the Pirates. The kid was like 4-0 with a low ERA, and they traded him to the Pirates for Vogelbach. So I mean, this bullpen really needs help, man. But hopefully, help is on the way with DeGrom, expected to pitch this upcoming week. Yeah, this upcoming week, Scherzer and DeGrom are finally going to pitch back-to-back games. They're going to – because DeGrom's going to finally pitch his – throw his first, you know, pitching his first start, hopefully, I think either the first or the second. So it's going to be good to see those guys finally pitching back-to-back, you know. Hopefully they can stay healthy and do another miracle for the Mets. It's been a long time since 86. We need another one, so we'll see what happens. Yeah, shifting gears to the Knicks. And, yeah, man, this is I don't know if you heard, but Mark Jackson said that he thinks the 90 Knicks would have won had they not traded him. Would you agree or disagree with that?
You mean the 93 team?
He said the 90s Knicks team. Because remember, he got traded, I think, after the 92 season.
Right.
So you're saying had he stayed throughout the 90s with the Knicks, we would have won a title. Do you agree or disagree?
I don't know because, we 93, 94, we still went to the finals without Mark Jackson. So we still made it all the way. And we still had a chance to win without him. 93, Bulls were just better at Jordan. I don't know if Mark Jackson would have made a difference. I think the guy we shouldn't have traded after the 92 season was Xavier McDaniel. Because that guy brought us toughness. That guy could shoot. And that guy was like, he could go inside anytime he want. That guy was better than Charles Smith, the guy we did trade for.
Oh, yeah.
The following season in 93. But we should have kept Xavier McDaniel on that team. I mean, you saw the toughness that he brought to the Knicks in that series against the Bulls in 92. And for whatever reason, I don't know why we didn't re-sign him, but that was a bad move by the Knicks office to not bring him back. Mm-hmm. I think if we brought him back, we could have easily won the championship maybe the following year or in 94. I think so. But Jackson, I don't know if Mark Jackson would have made a difference, to be honest with you. Because Jackson, he was not a great shooter, and he also was kind of – he was not – I mean, Knicks wanted to play at the faster pace as well, and he was kind of slow a bit. But he was a leader for our team, and he was a great passer. But, I don't think Mark Jackson would have made a difference, on those teams that made it further in the playoffs after he left.
You know what? I think I kind of agree with him. We'll never know, but I think, he would never had like a Hall of Fame type guy with him for a long period of time. You know what I'm saying? So I think if Mark Jackson could have stayed, he could have potentially made a difference. They could have possibly won. Possibly, but, we'll never know. Obviously, they never could get past Jordan. So, it's a tough thing. A tough hypothetical scenario, but I think we would have had a chance had we kept them.
But how so? We had them 92, and we didn't go anywhere in 92. So I don't see what difference that would make. And then when we did get rid of them, we went to the finals in 94. So how much of a difference would Mark Jackson would have made? I mean, Jackson is a good player, but. I mean, let's be honest, he wasn't that big of a difference maker on the Knicks, He was a great passer at the time, but, would he have provided that scoring? No. I mean,
yeah.
Mark Jackson was not a scorer,
Obviously, yeah.
So I don't see how that would have made a difference. Again, I think the guy that we, and I say to this day, that we should have kept was Xavier McDaniel. I mean, that guy, if you go back to the 92 series and you watch that, I don't know why we got rid of that guy. But if we had kept him and not gotten Charles Smith, Mm-hmm. You know, if that was Xavier Dano in 93, he would have definitely dunked that ball.
Oh, yeah.
Being blocked several times by the Bulls in that game. Was it game five? You know, in the Garden. So
I'm with you. That was, man. He's still getting blocked right now as we're speaking.
Yeah. I think he would have been a big difference, you know, if we had re-signed him. But I don't know why the Knicks did not do that.
Yeah, man. That probably the first glaring heartbreak I could think of as a Knicks fan, seeing him getting blocked like that.
Yeah.
And then you fast forward, Sprewell in that 99 World Series, in the 99 Finals, when he had like then practically the entire Spurs team, you know, guarding him while he's trying to put up a shot, you know. But obviously, it's a different circumstance because there's no excuse Smith getting his shot blocked like that. Whereas everybody knew that Sprewell was like our top guy on that team, you know, where Ewing hurt that playoff series.
Now,
so
why
they're gonna double triple team him?
While I think that Mark Jackson would have made a difference in 93 or 94,
mm-hmm.
I do think he would have made a difference if he had not gone to the Pacers, you know, in 95 or 97 or 98, because he did help those teams against the Knicks. So if we had him on the Knicks in those years, I think that would have made a difference, you know, in the latter years when the Pacers were able to get past the Knicks. But
that's
other
my
than
point
that,
too. That's my point, too, because I'm saying, like, after, you know, the hiatus with Jordan or after the end of that era with the, with the Bulls dynasty, you know, that was that small window of opportunity, because, you know, in good conscience, we can't boldly say, oh, for sure we would get past Jordan, because we never did. You know what I mean? While Jordan was there, you know what I'm saying? So I think with those small window when Jordan wasn't there, possibly he could have helped us, you know. But
I think in 95 he probably, I mean, he did help that Pacers team, even like in 97. Well, I don't know, because the Bulls, when Jordan came back, I mean, they were still there. They were very dominant as well.
Except for 95 when, he was a little,
back out of retirement. Yeah.
Right. He was his old self. And of course the Magic was the only team that defeated him, you know, in the 90s, during that time after, you know, they overtook the Pistons.
Yeah. You know, I think, and Jackson was on that 90, was he on that 2000 team that beat the Knicks in the conference finals?
I think he was. I'm pretty sure. Let me double check.
Yeah, I think he was on that team. You know, maybe if we had him on the Knicks that year.
You said in 2000, right?
2000, when the Pacers beat the Knicks in the conference finals.
He was on the Pacers, and then he went to the Raptors the 2000 and 2001 series which was officially the end of the era of the Knicks.
Right.
You know.
I think in those years anyway, he was on the decline. So.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Well yeah.
So I don't think it would have made a difference either on, because didn't he come to the Knicks around 2002 or something like that, 2001?
Yeah, 2001, 2002, he came back to the Knicks.
Yeah,
I think he retired as a Knick, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm, yeah.
Oh, no, he did. After 2001, 2002, he was sent in the Antonio McDyess trade.
Oh, okay.
And then he got waived. He signed with Utah Jazz as Stockton's backup. And then he signed with the Rockets in 04 to back up Steve Francis. And, you know, that was the end of his career. But do you think Donovan Mitchell will get traded here?
It's possible right now. You know, I'm always hearing, every day I'm hearing different things. Right now, I don't know, man. I'm unsure if he's just going to become a Nick. I don't know what's going to happen at this point.
Man, this is a, you know, I'll believe when I see it. You know, I think he wants to come here. I mean, you know, he's a huge Mets fan. You know, he was at the game Tuesday night, you know. You know, trolling the Yankee fans and stuff. But, yeah, man, you know, it would be great to see him come, but I think Danny Ainge is going to play hardball and just – he's trying to fleece us, man. He's trying to do his typical fleecing around this time of year, you know. So I think he's going to get traded to Miami, you know. But, you know, hopefully I'm wrong. Because this guy, he got that Celtic blood in him still. But he's going to try to screw us over. But time will tell if we're able to get the pieces. And right now the rumor is that RJ Barrett's not going to be in the deal because they don't want to give him that, you know, that contract extension. But, you know, Quentin Grimes is going to be in that trade. You know, Evan Fournier has been rumored to be in that move. Cam Reddish. And a bunch of picks. A boatload. A Noah's Ark size, you know, a bunch of picks, on, you know, that's coming their way. Like, it's, man, yeah, and then, you know, you're going to have Grimes. You might have, I'm trying to think who else might be in the, Jericho Sims maybe. I mean, we just don't know who's going to be in this trade. What's his name again? Quickly, possibly. We just don't know who's going to be in this move. The only guy we know that's definitely not going to be in the move is Mitchell Robinson because he signed the contract and he can't be traded until December 15th. And then hopefully, you know, RJ Barrett, if the rumor is true that the Jazz don't want him because they don't want to sign him that contract. And of course, you know, the Knicks don't want to trade, RJ Barrett. Okay. How about this, Mac? Which one do you think will most likely happen? Durant gets traded to Celtics or the Knicks get Mitchell?
Wait, say that again?
I said, which one do you think is going to most likely happen? Durant get traded to the Celtics or the Knicks?
Durant gets traded to Celtics.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I wish you were wrong, but unfortunately, I think that's more realistic. Because, man, Durant's going to use all his superstar power to get him on a superstar team, man.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's Phoenix, his first choice, or Boston. I mean, he's definitely not going to be in a rebuilding situation.
Yep.
So, yeah, time will tell what's going to go down in the NBA. And we'll let you know if there's any blockbuster deals that happens, you know, affecting the especially the Knicks and the Nets. But yeah, let's shift gears, man. You excited about the SummerSlam?
Yeah, waiting to see what the even though it's a bit earlier than we usually get SummerSlam. Yeah, I am looking forward to seeing this pay-per-view this Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
As much as that, I'm waiting in anticipation.
All right, so we're going to dive right into it. You know, the big news in WWE is that Vince McMahon officially retires from WWE. Triple H is going to take over the creative stuff that's going on behind the scenes. Stephanie and Nick Khan is going to be working, in the business side of it. And then reportedly, the rumor is that Brock Lesnar, the announcement was made that Vince McMahon, is no longer with WWE. He reportedly stormed out. And, CM Punk, he basically criticized WWE, because he felt they were being hypocritical. Let me see what he said.
Okay.
Because the people are, a bunch of people are thinking that, with Triple H in charge, he's going to make it, like NXT, he's going to try to make it more exciting, more innovative. But Punk doesn't think so. This is what he said. You think because he tweeted that I'm retired, you think he's not going to be hands-on and he's going to, in reference to Vince. I don't think the structure there. I don't think what's the word I'm looking for. I don't think the culture there changes at all. I think it is what it is. Let's see what he was saying. Let's see what did he say? Because there was other quotes that he was saying that he feel like. WWE is being hypocritical, when he walked out on the company in 2014, they criticized him about being a quitter. When Sasha Banks and Naomi, left, earlier this year, a few months ago, they basically publicized on the air that they quit on the company and let down the fans. So CM Punk was wondering where's that same energy when allegedly Brock Lesnar reportedly walked out of the company and then ended up coming back at the end of the show. That's why he was, wondering why they're not criticizing Brock Lesnar for basically doing the same thing that he and Sasha and Naomi did. Do you agree or disagree with him?
I kind of agree with that. You're right. It is a bit of, hypocritical, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would definitely agree. I mean, we don't know what happened to Sasha and Naomi. They're breaking points because up until that point, they never seemed like the type of ladies who would just up and quit. They must have really had their breaking point, bunch of broken promises, and for them to do something like that.
Yeah.
Let's dive right into this SummerSlam that's going to happen on Saturday night. All right, so we got Mysterio's Dominik and Rey. Rey celebrated his 20th anniversary in WWE on Monday Night Raw, even though he debuted on SmackDown back, in 2002. The Mysterio's, Rey, he got attacked by Judgment Day in front of his family, in front of his daughter and his wife. But now they're going to try to get their revenge. Mysterio's versus Judgment Day. Who you think is going to win? Damian Priest and Finn Balor or Dominik and Rey Mysterio?
So this would be their first match as a faction, if I'm not mistaken. Their first big match as a faction. So I can't see Judgment Day losing. So I'm going to go with Judgment Day.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to agree with you for the same exact reasons too. Because if they lose to Mysterio, I mean that's a wrap. You know what I'm saying? Like there's nothing more to the feud.
Yeah.
They got their revenge and that's it. Speaking of revenge, you got Logan Paul versus his former tag team partner, The Miz. And I'm picking Logan Paul to win this one.
Yeah, I'm going to pick Logan Paul as well.
And then you got Bianca Belair versus her rival, Becky Lynch, for the Raw Women's Championship. I think Bianca Belair is going to hold on to it still. About you?
But I get Becky Lynch, man. This could go either way. I could easily see Becky trying to regaining the championship, but maybe it might be too early, though.
Uh-huh.
Belair, I mean, it's still only been a few months since she's had the title. This is going to be tough, man. Man. I'm going to go with Becky Lynch regaining the title.
Liv Morgan versus Ronda Rousey, SmackDown Women's Championship.
I think Ronda's going to regain it, unfortunately.
Yeah, I'm thinking that too. Is Liv Morgan going to be like a transitional champion that quickly after she won the title just now? Yeah, I mean, I can't realistically see Ronda Rousey losing to her again. Unless Liv Morgan turns heel or has somebody interfere in her match, Ronda Rousey is going to definitely win this match.
Yeah.
Let's see. Maybe even Toxic Attraction. Mandy Rose's faction in NXT could pop up. Who knows? Up next is the Usos versus the Street Profits with Jeff Jarrett as the special guest referee. I'm picking the Usos to retain it.
Man. I think I'm going to go for the upset. I'm going to go with the Street Profits.
All right. And then, unfortunately, we have Bobby Lashley versus Theory for the WWE United States Championship. I'm gonna pick Lashley to win, but you know the way how they're pushing Theory, you know I wouldn't be surprised if he won. What about you?
Man. I am going to go with Bobby Lashley to retain it.
Mm-hmm. What about Pat McAfee versus Happy Corbin?
I'm going with Happy Corbin. Actually, you know what, Machine? I'm going with Pat McAfee.
I'm picking Pat McAfee as well.
Yeah.
Then last but not least, you got Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar. Last man standing match for the undisputed WWE Universal Championship. Who you got?
I'm going with Roman Reigns to retain it.
Yeah, I'm going with Roman Reigns too. Unless if Roman Reigns is going to take a vacation, I don't see him losing to Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, it should be some of these matches are going to be very good, I think. Looking forward to several of these matches. So, yeah, it should be a very good SummerSlam.
Should be. Let's move on to What was I going to say? Oh, by the way, guess who tried to try out for WWE?
Who?
Dwight Howard.
Wow. Dwight Howard?
Yep.
The hell? Crazy.
Apparently he wants to be a WWE superstar after he retires. Kind of like Enes Kanter.
Crazy.
All right, shifting gears to AEW. Yeah, they had the Fyter Fest event these past couple of weeks. And, they finally concluded on Wednesday night. So here's what happened on week one. Wardlow defeated Orange Cassidy to retain the AEW TNT Championship. Jon Moxley, the interim AEW champion, he defeated Konosuke Takeshita in an eliminator match. Luchasaurus defeated Griff Garrison by submission. Claudio Castagnoli, also formerly known as Cesaro in WWE, defeated Jake Hager, formerly known as Jack Swagger, by pinfall. Oh, yeah, by the way, congratulations to Claudio Castagnoli. He won his first world title with Ring of Honor. So, yeah, Cesaro couldn't win a title with WWE, even though he came close. But now he won his first title, the Ring of Honor title, as a member of the AEW brand. Serena Deeb defeated Anna Jay by submission. And Swerve in Our Glory, Keith Lee and Swerve Scott, Swerve Strickland, defeated the Young Bucks and Team Taz, Powerhouse Hobbs, and Ricky Starks. And Rampage, the House of Malachi, the House of Black, I should say, they defeated the Dark Order, Alex Reynolds and John Silver. Jonathan Grissom, he defeated Lee Moriarty in a singles match for the Ring of Honor title. This was days before Cesaro beat him. Chris Statlander and Athena, formerly known as Ember Moon, defeated the Renegade twins, Charlotte and Robin Renegade, in a tag team match. The Lucha Brothers, Penta Oscuro and Rey Fénix, defeat Private Party and, by pinfall. And what was I gonna say? Oh yes, my bad. That was I was giving you Fyter Fest. I should have gave you guys Fight for the Fallen. That was the event I was trying to cover. My bad. That happened the 27th. I mistaked it for Fight for Fallen. All right, here's the results for the fight for the Fallen that went down on Wednesday night. Excuse me. John Moxley defeated Rush to retain the AEW World Championship. Ricky Starks defeated Danhausen, and then he lost to Hook in a surprise match. So Hook is the new FTW championship. So Hook regained the title that his father put on the map in ECW. So Hook is the new FTW champion. Ricky Starks turned babyface. As a result, Powerhouse Hobbs attacked them. So that basically ended their Ricky Starks' affiliation with Team Taz. Congrats to Hook. Sammy Guevara defeated Dante Martin in a singles match. Swerve Strickland defeated Tony Nese and Mark Sterling in a 2-on-1 handicap match. Keith Lee was barred from ringside. Thunder Rosa defeated Miyu Yamashita to retain the AEW World Championship. Daniel Garcia defeated Bryan Danielson by technical submission in a singles match, which was an upset, biggest upset in AEW history. And then, if you guys don't want to hear about what was going to go down tomorrow, well, actually, here's the matches that's going to be for tomorrow, or should I say later today. You got Lee Moriarty versus Matt Sydal, Ethan Page versus Leon Ruffin, Best Friends versus Jay Lethal, Sanjay Dutt, and Sanam Singh. And then you got Anna Jay versus Ruby Soho. But there's even bigger news. Ric Flair is going to have his last match on Saturday night, if I'm not mistaken, or is it Sunday? I think it's Sunday. Let me just make sure. Did you see that video of Ric Flair last match?
I saw the preview. Yeah, I did see what happened with him. Jarrett and Jay Lethal.
Mm-hmm.
Jay Lethal. Well, are we spoiling it? I guess we are, right?
Spoiling? No, the match didn't go down yet, right?
Well, no, yeah, no, I know that, but I'm talking about like the build up. What's gonna happen? Who's gonna be battling, and what happened in that?
Yeah,
video.
No, there's nothing to spoil because it's the match didn't go down yet, and basically, everybody who knows about the match knows about the build up. So yeah.
Right now, it looks like it's going to be Jay Lethal and Jarrett against Flair and Andrade at the moment. But yeah, you sent me the video, didn't you?
Yeah,
you're the one that sent it to me. Yeah,
the match is gonna go down on the 31st, Sunday night. Is this? This is Starcade, I think. What's it called again? The let me see. All right, so here's the matches that are gonna happen on Sunday night. All right, so Adam Priest versus Big Damo, Brian Myers, Bully Ray, Crimson versus Crowbar versus Gringo Loco versus James Storm versus Kyle Hero versus Commander versus Ricky Shane Page versus Shin Bondi versus Wolfie D in a bunkhouse battle royale. I guess I'll pick Bully Ray. I mean, There's like 20 people in this battle royale. Next match they have is Ren Narita versus Yuya Yimura. To me, I'm not familiar with any of these guys, any of these people. I'll pick Ren Narita. Then you got Davey Boy Smith Jr. versus Killer Cross. I'm picking Killer Cross to win that one. Von Erich. Marshall Von Erich and Ross Von Erich versus the Briscoes. You got wrestling royalty battling it out. The descendants of these great tag teams from you know long time ago. I'm gonna pick the Briscoes to win it. Then you got the Wolves. You got Davey Richards and Eddie Edwards versus Motor City Machine Guns, Alex Shelley and Chris Sabin. I'm gonna pick the Motor City Machine Guns to get a vintage win victory. Rock and Roll Express, the Rock and Roll Express. Kerry Morton and Ricky Morton. They're going to battle the Four Horsemen, which is Brian Pillman Jr. and Brock Anderson. Allen Angels versus Jonathan Grisham versus Konosuke Takeshita and versus Nick Wayne in a Four Corners match. I'm picking Jonathan Grisham to win the match. To redeem himself from, you know, losing the title to Claudio Castagnoli, you know, formerly known as Cesaro. Bandido versus Laredo Kid versus Rey Fénix versus Taurus. Four-way match. I'm going to pick Rey Fénix for that one. You got a triple threat match for the Impact Knockouts world title. You got the champion Jordynne Grace versus Deonna Purrazzo versus Rachel Erling for the Knockouts title. I can see it going either way. Maybe Rachel Erling could win a title, maybe, perhaps as upset. I think most likely Jordynne Grace would retain. But maybe, hey, maybe they might put the title on Rachel Erling. Deonna Purrazzo, I mean, she's won the Impact Knockout titles multiple times. But maybe they might have Rachel Erling win it. You know, she's the daughter of the of Paul Erling, the manager of the Road Warriors from back in the days. Maybe they might make her win a title. I'm gonna pick an upset. I'm gonna pick her to win the title over Jordynne Grace. Let me see what other. Okay, yeah, they have Josh Alexander versus Jacob Fatu. He is the nephew of Rikishi, so he's part of that the bloodline. And I'll pick Jacob Fatu to defeat Josh Alexander for the Impact World Championship. And then last but not least, you have Ric Flair teaming up with his real life son-in-law Andrade El Idolo versus Jay Lethal and Jeff Jarrett for the tag team in a tag team match. Who you got? Ric Flair and Andrade or Jay Lethal versus
Ric Flair and Andrade, of course. If this is Flair's last match, I can't see him losing his last match.
I think Flair is gonna win. But then again, generally speaking, you know, when it's someone's last match, they usually lose. But, yeah, with this build-up, I think they have to put the give Ric Flair the win here. With the build-up, I mean, it's been a perfect build-up. You know, he's going to fight Jeff Jarrett at first. And then Jay Lethal confronted him, you know, because he felt like, you know, he was training with him and, you know, Ric Flair is his idol, that he deserved to be in the last match. So Ric Flair told him he wasn't going to be in the match. And then, you know, on the air, Ric Flair was saying that he was supposed to have an interview with Jay Lethal about their history. And Jay Lethal, you know, didn't no-show his show, you know, because of the frustration that he wasn't in the match. Obviously, you know, now we know it's, you know, due to storyline purposes, you know, as far as the storyline. You know, basically, Ric Flair told him that, you know, he's basically a mid-carder. He's not a legendary wrestler. So then that's what happened to Jay Lethal. And Jay Lethal snapped and attacked him. Then Jeff Jarrett, after the interview that he, you know, Ric Flair and Jarrett had to promote the match, he broke up Jay Lethal beating up on Ric Flair. And then Ric Flair was cursing him out. So Jeff Jarrett was you know, turned heel and started attacking Ric Flair. And then they jumped him. So now that's how we have the match. Ric Flair and Andrade El Idolo versus Jay Lethal and Jeff Jarrett, which, you know, Jay Lethal definitely deserved to be in his last match because, you know, yeah, man, that Jay Lethal TNA promos, man, have been epic. And, you know, Jay Lethal was, you know, very open about Ric Flair being his idol. And, you know, Ric Flair and Jay Lethal, you know, they developed a real-life friendship, you know, as a result of it, them working in TNA together. So I think it's very fitting that Jay Lethal is going to, you know, get to battle against his idol in his last match alongside Jeff Jarrett. And speaking of Jeff Jarrett, man, this is the Jeff Jarrett week. Man, he's on he's gonna be on SummerSlam on Saturday night, and then the following day he's gonna be in this event, you know, battling in Ric Flair's final match. Yeah, yeah, I would agree.
Yeah, Jared. Yeah, he has been all over the place lately.
Mhm. Yeah, he was on Raw, too.
Yeah. Looking forward to that match. Intrigue. You know, you got that whole Jay Lethal, Ric Flair rivalry, you know, going back to Impact
TNA.
Wrestling,
uh-huh.
TNA. Then for Lethal to think that Ric Flair betrayed him, you know, that whole storyline. It's very interesting. And I wonder if Jay Lethal will bring out his black machismo character, or even come out as his Ric Flair character, his Ric Flair, you know, impersonation. So,
yeah, Jay Lethal, he turned heel, so I don't know if he's gonna do that though. But then again, he could do the Ric Flair as in a mocking kind of.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
So I, you know, you might have a point there. But yeah, that match is a lot more intriguing than I thought it would be. You know, before, you know, Jay Lethal was inserted into the match, you know, it was just, you know, I hope Ric Flair don't get hurt. You know, didn't really have that much interest in it, but it really got real. You know, once, you know, Jay Lethal got, you know, inserted into the storyline and ultimately, you know, into this match. So yeah, now I'm really looking forward to this match.
Yeah.
And I agree with you. I think Ric Flair will win. Anything else you'd like to say, Mac, before we head out?
Just check out my show, iMac. Maybe this Saturday. after SummerSlam. So check that out and come back here. Check out Sports Server Legend. That'd be Saturdays at 10, or 11, I should say, only on Block Talk Radio. Or will you be doing your show next Saturday?
Oh, me?
Yeah.
I wouldn't be doing it on Saturday. I think I would have to maybe do it next Thursday or Wednesday, depending on, you know, if I have time, hopefully, because I'm going to be busy next week and the upcoming weeks as well. So I don't know. So I would say most likely this next episode would probably be Wednesday or Thursday, you know. But, yeah, keep your eyes posted on the upcoming episode. So he's Macaulay Matthew. I'm William Remo. Of course, check out his show, iMac. Check out my YouTube channel, Sports Urban Legend TV. And, of course, keep it locked in on Sports Urban Legend with me, William Remo, and Macaulay Matthew. God bless you. And God bless you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to this show. And hopefully we'll see you next week. Peace.